So, if you will take your Bibles and go to the book of Jude, it's 7:02, so we don't have a lot of time. I've gotten in a habit of going over on Wednesday nights, and I know you have been extremely patient with me in that, but I really do think that's because we're spending a lot of time in prayer, and I don't want to change that. I really enjoy praying with you. I enjoy hearing the things that you need and then giving them to the Lord, and then 4 weeks later, having a praise report, and I just love that. I love it so much. But I also love teaching God's Word. That is just something I'm really fired up about, and so we're going to do that. So look with me in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter there. If you have two chapters, you have the wrong Bible. Might be the non-inspired version. We'll leave that where it is. We're going to read these first. I was looking for my notes, and I put them over here. We're going to read just three verses tonight, but I just want to remind you what this entire book is about. It's about contending for the faith. We are to fight, we are to strive, we are to struggle for the gospel message. Now, you may see with different internet teachers and different theologians or commentaries, there seems to be this idea, and I plan to go in depth on this on one of our podcast episodes, but there seems to be this idea that for some reason before the cross, people got saved in a different way. The scripture doesn't teach that. Romans 4 is really clear about that. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, okay? The sacrifices, even when we see in Hebrews that they could never take away sin, but for some reason that teaching has just gotten stuck in people's minds. So for some reason people like to now apply that only in the grace age are we saved by faith. Only in this dispensation of the church age are we saved by grace. And then when the rapture happens and the tribulation begins, because the temple will be reestablished and sacrifice will be happening, well, people got to get saved the same way they were before. Friend, that's not in the Bible. And this is why we need to contend for the faith, because it is small errors like a questioning of a certain passage or a questioning of a interpretation of Scripture that can lead to large error. And people are stuck in it. We prayed for Jehovah's Witnesses. I have yet to have a fruitful conversation with a Jehovah's Witness. They are some of the hardest people to win to Christ because the error is so strong in their doctrine. You can't look at John 1:1 in their Bible. They have changed that definition. You can look in other places in their Bible and you'll trap them. And I don't really know if they'll admit that. If they're a good person and an honest learner, they'll take a look at it. But we have to know what the gospel is. And I mean, we've got to know it. What saves a person? We need to know what that is. We need to understand how to share it with people. And then we need to make sure that we stick to that message throughout the rest of our walk. And there are some passages in Jude, and we're going to start getting into some, that are what you would consider controversial. But we need to understand this. Number one, there is such a thing as a disobedient Christian. There are Christians, even in 1 Corinthians, where we've been looking for the past, 40-something weeks, we've been in 1 Corinthians on and off, we see where they were departing from the teaching of the resurrection. They're still saved, but they were participating in really wicked practices. Doctrinally, forget all of the other things that they were doing, just from a doctrinal position, they were having problems. There is such a thing as an apostate Christian, as a person who falls away from sound teaching. That does not mean that they fall so far away that the blood of Christ is now removed from them. We don't see that taught. And in passages that we're going to see tonight, it's not clear in some of them whether we're talking about a person being saved or lost. But let me teach you this. The point here is to not depart from the truth, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. Do not depart from the truth. That's what's being taught here. That is what Jude is constraining to the church. And if we understand the principle of inspiration of Scripture, this is what God is constraining to you and me. We need to be careful not to depart from the truth. Amen. I was just talking with Preston earlier, and we were getting on some different things, and one of the things we talked about was just let the Word guide us in truth. Amen. There's a tendency to, I like this person. I really like their preaching style. I like their material, and that's fine. But if you're not careful, you can begin to filter the scripture through their opinion. And that can be very, very, very dangerous. We don't read the scripture through their opinion. We have the scripture, and we read that over it. We test it that way. And that's the diligence that we have to take. Or else, we're going to slip up. We're going to get caught up in the error. So look in verse 3, where it says here, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints." The gospel message had already been delivered. There wasn't some extra revelation that needed to come down the line to complete it. It had already been delivered. Last week, I mentioned to you Pastor Tom Kakuzi. He did an excellent job. If you go on his YouTube channel and look at his part 6, it was the last part of his series on the Trojan horse teaching. And he talked about contemplative spirituality, which is, let me explain to you what this is, because it lines up exactly with, it's that teaching contradicts this verse. It's the kind of teaching that says in prayer, instead of filling your mind with the scripture, you're supposed to empty your mind. Now that's already Eastern theology, meditation, trance-like state, and you are supposed to focus on one word. And the devil is so crafty and cunning that it could even be a Bible word. It could be supplication or joy or salvation, but you are supposed to repeat that word over and over and over and over. And then you are supposed to be quiet so that you can hear the voice of God speak to you. Friend, God has already spoken to us. See, if the person who came up with contemplative prayer understood the scripture, the gospel's already been delivered. The scripture's already been given to us. We don't need to hear the voice of God. Amen. But people are looking for that. The Bible's right here. Isn't it interesting how man does everything except the right thing? I mean, that's the story of mankind. Yeah. Do not eat of this fruit. Hath God really said? What happened? They ate of the fruit. But it says here, contend for the faith. Earnestly is how we're supposed to do it, which was once delivered unto the saints. So now skip down to verse 5, and we're going to read this verse here, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 10. "I will therefore put you in remembrance." What's the purpose of these next couple verses? To remind us of people that departed away from the truth that was given from God, from God's word. Here's what he reminds us of. He's going to give us three different examples. "Though you once knew this," so at some point, the people he's writing to, they were diligent about these things, they were reminded about these things, but they departed away from it. "How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not." So I want you to hold your place here in Jude 5, and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. One of the great things you're going to start to experience as you continue to read and study the Word of God is you're going to read a passage and go, you know what? That sounds like, and then know another passage. Boy, that's when the Holy Spirit's really bringing things to your remembrance and you're learning and growing, and that's just an awesome place to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, though, writes to the Corinthians, but is also applicable to you and me, about Israel's problems in the wilderness. They did not have to wander for 40 years. They wandered because they did not believe God and did not take him at his word. They disobeyed. Moses was late coming off of Mount Sinai, and the practices that Israel got themselves involved with are not properly rated for me to repeat. It was wicked, it was occult, it was around immorality, and it was very easy for them to get involved in. They called that calf that they made Jehovah. Yikes! Guess what? It's what happens when we depart from the truth. And so these things are a reminder. Jude is saying, I speak this to your remembrance. You once knew this. I'm reminding you. Look what it says there in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 10. "Moreover, brethren, I would not have that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Any question there if the rock was a type or not? It's confirmed. Confirmed. But anyway, look at verse 5. It's where we're going to focus. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Skip verses 7, 8, and 9, and 10, because as an example, he lists the fornication, the idolatry, the temptation. They were tempting Christ, they were murmuring. But all of that comes into one summation here in verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for what? Examples. Now the word is in samples, but it's properly understood by you and me as an example. I remember, I don't know what kind of conversation we were having, but I was talking with my younger brother, and it was after we're both grown and out of the house, and he told me that he learned from me, because the things that I tried to do in disobedience, he learned when Jesse disobeys in this manner, Jesse gets punishment in this manner. And he is a smart kid, so he said, I'm not going to do those things because I already know the discipline that's going to happen. This is the burden I had to bear as being the oldest one. We always got the hardest treatment. It was always difficult because that's how it was. But my younger brothers learned from my example of what not to do when I was younger. It is the same thing that is being said in this passage here. Corinthians, you need to look back on the examples in the Old Testament and avoid those errors. And each one of those things that Paul mentions, the idolatry, the fornication, the tempting of God, and the murmuring, they were all doing. They're all living in carnality. They were having serious problems within their ministries. And he says that they're there for an example, verse 11, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Does that not sound exactly like what we just read in Jude 1? Look, just hold your place in 1 Corinthians 10 and look right back at verse 5 in Jude. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. They had departed from the truth. And we are being reminded here by God. Look at what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness. That whole generation that doubted, they died. They ate that dust in the wilderness. So as we see here now, look at verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 10. Keep holding your place in Jude over there. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, we have this encouragement and guidance. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as, you need to mark this, is common to man. The things that you and I struggle with, we're not the first ones. We are not the first ones to experience hardships in this life, difficulties. We're not the first ones to get caught up into sin. But look at what it says. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape. And you should mark this too, that ye may be able to bear it. And we're living in a time where you and I are having to bear a lot of testing and a lot of temptation. It is so easy to look at the churches that are big and have wonderful programs and have all the money, supposedly. I mean, I know churches that are huge and they're millions of dollars in debt. I couldn't sleep at night if I was in debt by that much. But there's a temptation, and I've seen it. People say, yeah, I'm just going to go to XYZ because, you know, they got it all together. They don't have the gospel, right? Amen. They don't know how to teach God's word, but we have to be careful. The Lord will deliver us if we continue to rely on him. If we do not go to our own way, the Lord will deliver us out of it. So now go there in in Jude, back there in verse 5. So we have here this example, how that the Lord, he saved the people out of the land. He delivered them out of the land. Okay, and I don't think that this necessarily means eternal salvation. But he's saying he delivered his chosen people, Israel, but he destroyed the ones that believed not. Now, it's not clear here whether he's talking about saved or lost people, but that's not the point. The point is they departed from what God said he was going to do. And in the same manner, the churches that Jude is writing to are at risk of departing in the same way. We talked last week about itinerant preachers, people that they sell a package, they're going to come in and they're going to speak in your church. And they speak lies, false doctrine. And we give our pulpits to them. No, we're not supposed to do that.
Amen.
We have to guard against that. Well, you're splitting hairs. Give me the title. I'll own that title because I know it's not an accurate title. We're standing up for the faith.
Amen.
Now, you also have to be careful that you don't want the individual to be lost forever. We despise the teaching. I hate the teaching of Calvinism. I want people that teach it to get saved.
Amen.
So they can get cleared up. You know, that's what Yankee's doing on his circuit right now. Yankee is literally a traveling clinic. He is going and diagnosing sick pastors and sick ministries, and he's giving them a vaccine, all right. And it's called the gospel. And let me tell you, friends, we should be blessed to know a man like that.
Amen.
That can do it. He is contending for the faith. And next year, I know it's a whole year, but next year, you keep telling him, he's going to be 80. And he's still doing it. We should pray earnestly for that man, fervently for him. But we've got to make sure ourselves here in Tampa or wherever you are when you're watching on the live stream that we're contending for the faith, that we're not reposting things on social media that are not true.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how many people like it and heart it and all that stuff. If it's not true, if that ministry doesn't preach truth, we ought not support it.
Amen.
I don't even like saying what commentaries I read because most of the time they mess up somewhere. You know what commentary I read? Prayer Through the Scripture. But look at what it says here. Afterward, destroyed them that believed not. So God, not only can God save, but he will destroy. Okay? He will bring chastening and discipline into the life of the disobedient believer. And for the lost, he will let them continue in sin. But if that lost person dies, John 3 tells us that the wrath of God abides upon them, and you better get saved today. Do not wait. Do not delay. So there's 2 points I want you to write down from this verse here. Number one, know the history of the people that have fallen into sin. Know the history of people that have fallen into sin, not for the purpose of gossip, but so that you can take proper measures to protect yourself from doing the same. It breaks my heart when I see pastors leave churches for no good reason, other than to pursue something else. Breaks my heart. It's happening. Number two, stay close to the Word and the people who do the same. This is the importance of like-minded fellowship. So we're going to continue here in verses 6 and 7. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Not going to spend a lot of time here, but I'm going to tell you this. Those angels were in a position of superior power, and they still disobeyed. The first example we see in Israel is they had the sin of rebellion. They rebelled against what God had said, which is witchcraft. And then we have the example here of people that proudly depart from superior positions. Specifically, we're speaking here about the angels. But people that are in ministries and they're the head of ministries and they get caught up into sin, they're not always leaving humbly. Some of them have reasons for what they did. And they're wrong, but they're proud in it. We got to mark against those things. And realize, too, that those angels are going to be judged. Just as the ones that disobey God and teach false doctrine and they're not saved, they will be judged as well. And then also here in verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Now, I'm going to speak very clearly about this verse. That sin of homosexuality is a sin that has severe punishment. Okay? And the nation that we live in today, I'm telling you, we are continually pushing the patience of God, okay? With just the fact of the pride movement and homosexuality and now gender fluidity. Look, you go study these strong civilizations and you see how they ended. They began to put gender on a spectrum. What are we doing today? Literally, I got a text message from someone in my family with a recent gender box. And the options are, it's not even funny. It's not comical. It's sad. There's a box that says, I don't know. There's a box that says, I'm still thinking about it. There's a box that says, man transitioning to woman, and then vice versa. It's a wicked, wicked practice. And you see how God disciplined that practice in Sodom and Gomorrah. But here's the third step. Remember, we talked about the steps here in these verses in apostasy. Rebellion, pride, and then descending into immorality. That's exactly what happens here. And going after strange flesh are set forth as an example. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed as an example of God's discipline against that sin. Now, we do not take this to, it's not even taking it to the extreme. It's taking it into error and saying, therefore, no homosexual can be saved. That's not what this verse teaches. We know that the only kind of people that are going to suffer vengeance of eternal fire are people that are in hell. That does not mean a believer that becomes a homosexual or a homosexual that becomes a believer but doesn't change his lifestyle. Listen, Christ died for that sin.
Amen.
And he died for it completely. Amen. There's not a temporal application to the sin of homosexuality. But do not also get it twisted. It is a sin with serious consequences. And it ought not be tolerated and it ought not be practiced. And it is happening in our churches today. I told you about when I would travel to and from, especially when we would go over to Texas and back and forth. I'd go through those different states, and I would see churches with that little flag or the little ribbon, right, with rainbow colors that says, we accept all. That would be like me putting a ribbon up that says, thieves welcome. We're not supposed. Remember those fallen angels? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? You better not fall into the same category that God's going to discipline. Well, it's just the gospel. No, it's not just the gospel. It's the faith, and we're supposed to contend for it. We're supposed to know what it is, we're supposed to know what it's not, and we're supposed to be ready to stand for it. And I would dare say you're supposed to be ready to give your life for it.
Amen.
If you recant Jesus Christ, he's not going to deny you. You'll lose rewards. But what a testimony it would be if we lost our lives because of the gospel. And friend, let me be clear, in the tribulation period, people will lose their heads for the gospel. And although they lose their lives, I'm extremely thankful that we can look down the line of prophecy and see there are people willing to take a stand like that. You don't see it today. Boy, every time you see someone stand up for truth, what's the next thing you see 2 days later? They've officially apologized. I'm not going to apologize for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I hope you would say the same thing. Let's get fired up about that. Let's get fired up about the gospel. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna depart from that. I'm gonna continue in that. I'm gonna fight for that. You know, humans are looking for somewhere to belong, something to fight for. Boy, I belong in heaven and I'm gonna fight for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, every time you hand a track out, you do that.
Amen.
You're a part of that. Isn't that just like cool? I think that's so great. Gives me purpose. But look, we need to fight for it, guys, because it's being attacked. It is being attacked. Big stuff is happening right now in these worship groups. Elevation Worship, Hillsong, Bethel. Bethel, for a long time, they've been out. They're telling you exactly what they are. They're spiritualism. But Elevation Worship and Hillsong, they're getting some heat, even being played on the Joy FM. Christians that don't understand the gospel, like you and me, are seeing what they're singing is not godly. But this is what happens. We've replaced good Bible teaching with an electric guitar and with stage lights. There's worship pastors out there. I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I don't understand what that is. I don't understand what it is. You got one pastor in the church. And then you have an associate and stuff like that. But there's technology pastors. I mean, for what? To lead the computers in the way of righteousness? I know it sounds, I'm not trying to be rude, but it's like, we need to define these terms. But this is what's happening when we depart from the truth. Okay? We need to stay on the truth. Now, next week, we're going to get into how these apostate teachers are described. And eventually, we'll get into the passage in 2 Peter 3, which is some really interesting stuff. And I hope you're here for it, okay? Look up here. As I give the gospel and as we close, this hand will represent you and me. My wallet's going to represent sin. I'm going to put it on top of my hand because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God, he loves us. He hates our sin because this sin separates us from him. In order to get to heaven, we have to be perfect, just like God. The command is simple. The practice is impossible. We cannot attain perfection in any good work that we could ever do. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, eternal separation forever in a place called hell. That's for just one lie. The Bible tells us no one that worketh a lie or abomination will get into heaven. We have a problem. The Bible teaches that good works cannot save us. Every major world religion teaches the exact opposite. Oh yeah, give your good works and God will exchange those good works for his righteousness and you get to go to heaven. The Bible says that no one is saved by good works, not of works lest any man should boast. It's Ephesians 2:9. If we could work on our own, we would be able to stand next to Christ and say, I was able to do it on my own, just like Christ did it for us. This hand represents you and me, or excuse me, this hand will represent Jesus Christ, perfect without any sin, loves you, loves the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, excuse me, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What Jesus Christ did on the cross was not just an example for you and me to follow. It was our solution.
Amen.
He went on that cross, took our sin, became that sin for us. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And in order for a person to have the righteousness of God put to their account, in order for them to know they're going to heaven, they can only believe on Jesus.
Amen.
The moment they do that, they're passed from death unto life. The sin is off of the hand that represents you and me because the sin has been paid for. Jesse, what about my future sin? It's paid. Ask you a question that was asked of me. How many sins did Christ pay for of yours on the cross that were future? Oh, except that one. All of them. This is why we can't teach that homosexuals don't go to heaven. In a sense, that's true. Neither do liars and stealers, none of that, because we're going to have our new nature up in heaven.
Amen.
But a homosexual can get saved.
Amen.
A thief can get saved. A murderer can get saved. You just got to put your trust in Christ. Isn't that great?
Amen.
That's the greatest news in all the world. That's what we need to teach. And once you're saved forever, or else you were trusting in a temporary sacrifice of Christ, and he didn't make that kind of sacrifice. He made a permanent sacrifice. Hebrews tells us once for all. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're watching on the live stream, I encourage you, right where you're sitting, you can put your trust in Jesus Christ. You don't have to say a prayer. You don't have to repeat something. Just believe. Put your trust in his death, burial, and resurrection, that he did that for you. And friend, the Bible says that you receive right in that moment the free gift of everlasting life. You're saved forever. Now that you're saved, you can go walk in truth. You have a new nature. Yeah, a bunch of things happen to you. But you can understand the Bible and read it and help others in the same way that you were helped tonight. Share the gospel with them. For the believers that are watching and for the believers that are in this room, we need to continue to contend. We need to watch any rebellion that comes into our lives. We need to address it with the truth of Scripture and mark it. We need to be careful of pride, especially as we continue to be given more responsibility. We need to guard against that pride, and we need to be careful of immorality in our lives, that we avoid things like that, and continually contend for the faith, relying upon the Lord to help us each step of the way. Father, bless our study tonight. Bring us back here safely. We remember those who are struggling. Specifically, Lord, on my heart tonight is Janine, and also Jennifer Wharton with their cancer diagnosis. I just pray that those needs would be met. We thank you so much for what you've already done and what you will do. We pray that you come quickly, even today. But if we're supposed to wait, And Lord, I pray that we are busy about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.